Hi, I'm Carlyn Holbrook. I'm a John Maxwell Team certified coach, teacher, trainer, speaker, published author, and influencer with more than 25 years of global leadership experience. If there's one thing I've seen firsthand time and time again, it's that the best leaders inspire others to follow their purpose and their passion, while the influence of a bad leader can literally tear down people's potential. Join me for a few sips of leadership tips that will help you become a better leader by first conquering the hardest person to lead, you. Hello, everybody out there in leadership land. I had to take a sip of coffee myself so I could talk to you today. Alrighty then. I started with wanting to kick off a series of leadership in popular culture. And my first one, Central Perk style, percolating up some leadership ideas. Thank you for a lot of you who really like that. And for those of you who reached out with comments and messages and texts, I really appreciate it. Well, I have another one today. I started watching a show a friend told me about called Ghosts on, I think, Paramount Plus. And there's the U.S. version and there's also a U.K. version. I started watching the U.K. version and I'm about four or five episodes just in season one in Ghosts of the U.S. version. And it's a fun show. I don't care for shows that are like really scary or deep into paranormal or, you know, just things that are going to like put things in my head. And yeah, my imagination runs with me, goes bump in the night kind of stuff. So I loved horror movies and stuff as a kid, but as an adult, I don't do it. This show is very lighthearted, very funny. It's about a young couple who lives in New York, and her, I think, is like great, 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 great aunt died and left the, her aunt that she didn't know left an estate, kind of a disrepaired estate, I think, believe in somewhere upstate New York. This is obviously the U.S. version. And so they move into the house and they decide they're going to try to fix it up into a bed and breakfast. And I'm not spoiling it. I mean, if you want to look at the plot line is something happens to her, trauma to the head, where now she can see the ghosts that live on the property. And the ghosts range from everything from like the original owner, lady of the manor back in the day, to a 1700s Revolutionary War militia guy, and even a Viking, a Native American, a hippie, a stockbroker, some kind of scout leader / travel agent, and a Prohibition era singer. And super funny, because obviously, can you imagine how startling that would be to suddenly be, oh, I can see things that no one else can see and talk to people that no one else can talk to. And so she has all these voices. And at first, it freaks her out, which understandably so. So she has all these voices trying to talk to her at the same time while she's trying to talk to her husband and other people in the land of the living. And as you can imagine, kind of humor ensues too. But what this got me thinking about in terms of leadership, you're like, Carlyn, where are you going with this? Is we all have voices in our heads all the time, right? So for her, these are kind of voices in her head, even though these are ghosts that she's seeing around her. That's literally what's happening, is they're talking to her and she's got multiple voices of multiple opinionated people always coming at her in her head. And she's trying really hard to focus on a conversation with her husband or a conversation with, you know, neighbors or others in the land of the living. Well, meanwhile, she's got these voices in her head. Don't we all kind of have that going on when we are trying to lead ourselves, which is such a critical part of, as you know, leading ourselves before we can lead others? We have these voices in our head telling us different things, right? And I am not talking about dissociative identity disorder. That's a real thing. And that is like more, you need psychotherapy. You need to go see somebody about that. That is usually, that's what people used to call multiple personality disorder. I know a lot about this because I wrote a book called Group Therapy. And I weave that into the storyline. That is when your brain is really trying to protect you, usually from some kind of childhood trauma or abuse, something really that runs deep, where you literally think that you have multiple people in your mind. It is amazing. Our brains are just incredible, like the things it can do. and to protect us in the best of intentions, right? To protect us. Anyway, I digress. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking more of the day-to-day, those inner critics that come into your brain, like that create imposter syndrome, for example. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. Who the heck wants to talk to you? Who would listen to your podcast? Man, there's a million podcasts out there. What gives you the right to tell people how to lead leaders or lead themselves? Or what do you know that's any better than someone else with, you know, who might have a PhD and a lot more experience around this? Obviously, I have voices in my head, right? So we all have these voices, some of them helpful, some of them harmful. It also reminds me of some of the old movies or old shows. There would pop up like a little devil on your shoulder and then a little angel on your shoulder. And then the devil on your shoulder is like, do the bad thing or do party, have fun, rah. You know? Yeah, that's what little devils apparently sound like. And then the angel on your shoulder is like, no, always do the right thing and da-da-da. And apparently angels sound like that. But you get the point. We all have this mentally in our heads. But I think old movies and old shows that do the devil and angel, I feel like that's not complex enough, frankly. Yes, that's a very black and white, right or wrong. You know, kill that person. No, don't kill that person. And I do believe in absolute truths. I know that that's not always trendy these days because a lot of people think truth is relative. And I don't believe that, because if I believe that, then I would think it's justifiable for a stranger to walk up to another stranger in a grocery store and just kill them in cold blood. It's like, oh, well, they were just expressing their truth, right? I mean, people might think that's a drastic example, but that's true. Because if you think, well, that's wrong, oh my gosh, that's horrible. Or, you know, somebody walking in somewhere and, you know, with mental problems, shooting people for no reason that they don't even know. Yeah, that's wrong, right? So there are absolute truths. There is right and wrong in the world, in the universe. I personally believe that we know that innately because that's the way God designed us. And it's, you know, again, most all of our laws are based on biblical truths. But okay, I'm not going down that road necessarily, but change my mind and look that up. It's true. So there are innate truths and absolute truths in the world. So, but I think the devil and the angel thing are just a little too like one or the other, where I think because what happens to us is we allow lots of voices to get into our heads, right? We allow, you know, the voice of other people. We allow the voice of our parents, the voice of authority figures, the voices, you know, just of, again, we don't even know who we are anymore, I think, because we crowd so many voices in our head, voices from TV and movies, entertainment, social media, people we don't even know are getting into our heads and hurting people's mental health. That floors me, by the way. Some rando on the internet says something about something, and we are allowing that to steal our joy or take it to heart. It makes me sad. Like, don't ever let someone bully you or convince you of something. Some nameless keyboard warrior. Ugh, anyway, again, probably another podcast. Back to our voices in our head. So I did also, and I know that some of this is the awesomeness of neuroscience, which I love. And I do, frankly, think it's so fascinating. So this one doctor, and you can look this up, Dr. Schwartz, he says, he's a psychologist, says that we naturally have our mind naturally has like multiple voices. And that, again, not to be confused with dissociative identity disorder. He claims that, you know, we have managers, we have exiles, we have firefighters. And that's like, you know, just labeling different personalities in general. Exiles are the voice that holds our pain, that holds our shame. This is often where childhood trauma comes into play. Something that, again, in a drastic situation, your mind would protect you by, you know, creating another personality, you know, disassociating itself, right? Managers is where most of us function. This is where we are supposed to, you know, this is like how we live, how we're supposed to. We're doing what we're supposed to do. This is like societal norms, cultural norms, how we're raised to or educated to behave in whatever cult, you know, tribe that we belong to, city, state, whatever that looks like, right? What we're supposed to. And then the firefighters are who distract us from the pain. They have good intentions, but these are the people who, or this is the voice that often, it's distracting us with not so good behavior. So this might be where the addictive personality comes in. This is where binge eating or alcohol abuse, you know, addiction and stuff comes in because it's trying to help you cope with something else. So the intention is good, the behavior often not so good. Now, but he argues in the best idea of state is when you actually operate as yourself. I know, wow, took a lot of degrees to figure this out. But this is also equates to, I think Martha Beck, another coach, famous coach, talks about the essential self, right? So this is literally the real you. So this is like the real you, the one you feel safe, that actually already has the answers to all these issues and things that you're dealing with in your life. And the goal is for you to be able to access your actual self. And this is where good therapists and good coaches and people who can come alongside you and really are just there to help you pull out all the answers that you already know to the questions. It's like, wait, what? So again, just this is his research, but I find it fascinating. He says that remarkably, and this is neuroscience, he's like, they're finding that there are 8 C's and 5 P's that we already have innately wired in our brains. And the 8 C's are calmness, clarity, curiosity, confidence, compassion, creativity, courage, and connectedness. And then the 5 P's are presence, patience, persistence, perspective, and playfulness. Boy, am I glad I have a pop filter. So his argument is that over years and years and years of research, throughout history, everything, is that these are innately born into our brains, and they can't explain it necessarily, but that as humans, we have access to these things if we're operating in ourselves. Now, my belief is we are designed by a creator. We have intelligence design, and actually more and more scientists, and I don't believe science and religion are separate. I really don't. I mean, and I'd love to have debates on this for days, because really all science is doing is interpreting what God had created within us. They all go hand in hand. There is nothing that says, you know, one or the other. I think the only thing that's so vastly different would be to say that we came from apes and monkeys and such, whereas we are created in the image of God, if you believe in creator. The Big Bang, it was just God going, poof, we're here. I mean, anyway, these are my beliefs, right? But what's awesome is more and more scientists are starting to realize, because they can't explain as much, and the odds of us being a certain way would only be by intelligence design, right? So this isn't religion. This is neuroscience. But I was like, wow, that is so true with these C's and P's, right? These are all things that we have the propensity to be. Now, can you grow these? Can you make these better? Can you hone these as skills and be able to tap into them? 100%, right? After all, we're not born talking. We're not born walking. We have to learn how to walk and talk and be and grow and enunciate. And that's how we hone that. But the fact that these are all in here already. So when when the self is the leading voice in our heads, it actually then restores the balance. Because it's not to say those exiles and firefighters don't try to creep up their heads often, but the exiles can be healed, right? The past trauma, the past childhood pain, the abuse, or whatever. It doesn't have to be even childhood. It can be healed. And then, but instead of using firefighters to cope, actually using ourself to help heal those hurts. And often it does help to be with a therapist or psychologist, someone who's trustworthy, that's going to help you pull out the best of you, not tell you what to do, but pull out the best of you and help. That's why the best coaches don't have answers. They just ask the best questions, right? So again, Dr. Schwartz, great, really fascinating psychology. Highly recommend checking it out if you have time. All right, well, let's get into some sips. Sip number one. I think it's important that we all identify the voices that are in our head. Who are our ghosts in our head? Give them a name. And no, I'm not crazy by suggesting that. In fact, I saw an HBR, Harvard Business Review article about managing the critical voices inside of your head. And it suggested actually giving them personalities, giving them names. So it would help you better identify when they pop up. And that would be my second sip. Keep track of the stories you're telling yourself. You know, Brené Brown talks a lot about the stories I tell myself, which a lot of that is based on our assumptions, based on what we think, based on our own filters, our own bias, our own experiences and expertise. And those are not always true. Well, leaning itself into the voices in your head, if you think about it, it's like, yeah, there's a reason why there's a voice, you know, John is saying whatever, and another voice, April, is saying whatever, right? But keep track of that. Write that down, especially in different situations, because then you can better assess, maybe that's a useful voice, or, ooh, that's not such a useful voice. And we need to really tame that one and keep myself in check with that and be the leading voice in my head. All right, third sip. Where are these voices generating from? Is it from self? Is it from exiles? Is it from firefighters? Is it from some outward influence in your life? And what needs to change with your inner voice? What are the things that you need? Where are the harmful voices that you need to go poof and send them on to their afterlife and not keep them in your head as the ghosts that are haunting you in every situation and hurting you? And not helping, and being that critic and that imposter syndrome and all the negativity that is not helping. See, we have to be strategic and intentional about who we listen to, what we listen to, what we feed into our hearts and our minds. To lead out there, you gotta start in here. And it does always start with, I know I talk about the heart with leadership, and it's true, but you have to align the head and the heart before you can ask for a hand. And I guarantee once you tame the voices and set the boundaries, just like going back to our ghost show, it took her some time, the main character Sam, it took her time to tame those voices and ask them to please be quiet. But it wasn't until she actually admitted that they were happening, that they were there and they were talking to her, was she able to then set boundaries. And in some cases, able just to hear what it was they were trying to tell her and acknowledge it, or decide, no, I'm not going to do that. Or yes, I will help you do that. Or you know, and it's like once you face the voices and you can analyze them, then you're better able to control the voices in your head. Thank you for having a cup of coffee with me. For more sips and tips, connect with me on social and follow Leader Sips on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And don't forget to visit my website, carlynholbrook.com. Until next time, keep on brewing.